It's so good to be back together with you again today. As you know, if you've been with us, I'm giving you two insights into the life of Joseph, the earthly parent of Jesus. Joseph is the righteous man that God chose to be the human father for Christ's human life. God is, of course, Jesus' heavenly and eternal father. And Joseph, according to Matthew, was a righteous man who wanted to please God as a young man, somewhere in the range of 18 to 20 years old. To you young people within the sound of my voice today, you never have to wait until you're older to please God. It's not somehow necessary for you to get sin out of your system by living for a period of time in rebellion against the living God. That is never, definitely necessary. Absolutely not. The Bible encourages you. No, the Bible commands you to live all the days of your life for God and to obey Him in all your ways. I love what the Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Now, at the time Paul wrote this, Timothy was in his 30s, but he had been with Paul since Timothy was a teenager. He was a young man, and Paul encourages him to actually serve as a godly example to all the believers, those younger still than him, his peers, and his elders. The same holds true for you, young men and women tuning in today. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for others with your speech, conduct, love, faith, and your purity, which is particularly powerful in a time when most young adults live impure lives. By living in purity, you will stand out from the crowd and draw others to you in their time of confusion, need, and hopelessness. Be patient in purity. Others will see it in you and be drawn to you, and then you can lead them to Christ Jesus. Oh yes, what a life-changing impact you will have in people's lives for God. You can definitely be used of God to do this. Joseph was like this. Matthew 1 verse 19 says Joseph was a righteous man. And I have two points on the outline I'm working with. We've covered the first. It's this. Jesus creates the tension for Joseph between law and grace. And today we come to the second. Jesus creates the tension for Joseph between obedience and disobedience. And so that we can discuss this, let's first see it in the text. So come with me back to Matthew chapter 1, and I'll read beginning today down at verse 20. I will read verses 20 to 25 in just a moment. But first, I want to make a comment about verse 20. Again, this is Matthew 1 verse 20. When I read it, you will hear me read, "But when he had considered this," we should pause and ask, what is the this that Joseph considered? Well, we know what the this is. We've been discussing it for several days. He considered divorcing Mary. The tail end of verse 19 says he planned to send her away secretly. That means he was going to divorce her quietly, not loudly and publicly, so that he could be gracious to her. Even though up until this point, Joseph had to have assumed Mary was pregnant by another man. Joseph exercised grace towards Mary amidst his pain. However, as we are about to find out, suddenly everything changes for Joseph. Listen now to Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 25. "But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." What changes? the angel appears to Joseph in a dream and clarifies how and why Mary is pregnant. How is she pregnant? The Holy Spirit has conceived the child within her. And why is she pregnant? This would have blown Joseph's mind away. She will carry and give birth to the Messiah, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God has chosen Mary to be the earthly mother of Jesus, and Joseph to be his earthly father. The angel of the Lord commands Joseph, "Take Mary as your wife." And now Joseph must decide between obedience and disobedience. What will Joseph do? In verse 19, he believes that Mary must be pregnant by having sexual intercourse with another man. And this act of adultery gives him the right under the law to divorce her. But in the dream, he is told otherwise. It is not another man after all, but an act of God. So now, what should he do? Go ahead with a private divorce? Or go ahead with a wedding? We may read this and think the answer is easy. Get married. But let me remind you of the cultural context in which he finds himself. He has had the dream. He knows Mary is pregnant because of the Holy Spirit, and when the public finds out she is with child, they're not going to believe that the Holy Spirit actually impregnated her. Who would? So if he goes ahead with the marriage celebration, then he will risk his own righteousness in the community. And yet verse 24 tells us that he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. Despite what others would think, despite the pressure he was under, counting the cost, and defying what he would have done without the dream, and by faith believing the angel, Joseph does what God wants him to do. He obeys. He chooses obedience over disobedience. At least two things stand out to me about Joseph's obedience that I want to share with you. First, Joseph immediately believes the will of God for his life. Verse 24 says, "And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him." He sleeps, he dreams, and when he is awake from the dream, he does what the angel of the Lord told him to do. This immediacy with which he trusts and obeys God really speaks loudly to us, doesn't it? How many times in my life has the Lord commanded me to do something and I have waited, delayed, and procrastinated? It has been clear to me what his will for me is, and I still do not do it, at least immediately. Have you ever experienced this? Are you experiencing this at present? Are you waiting? Joseph teaches us a valuable lesson. Immediately believe the will of God for our lives. Our Father in heaven is completely trustworthy, and he does have a will for us. The question is, what is it? When we know what it is, again by faith, we ought to do it. Do you know what God wants from you? Let me encourage you, do it. And it is never too late to start doing what God wants you to do, even if for years or decades now, you still haven't obeyed. Get started today. If you'll flip ahead a few pages in your Bible when you have a chance, you will come to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Let me read that for you. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." Jesus is not saying that you get into heaven by doing the will of God, as if doing the will of God is some sort of meritorious work for salvation. But he is saying that once a person is saved from sin by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, then doing the will of God immediately is God's expectation for us. And how can we tell if we are genuinely following Christ? We will do the will of God. God's will matters to us greatly, and we pursue doing that which he wants us to do, just like Joseph did. This is a mark of a genuine Christian. The second thing that stands out to me about Joseph's obedience is he puts God's reputation ahead of his own. Joseph lived in an honor-shame culture. Maybe you do too. For the years that I have lived in Hong Kong among Chinese people and other Asian cultures, I've come to know deeply how honor-shame cultures function. The shame cast on Joseph, marrying a pregnant girl while he claimed not to be the father of the baby, would have been an immense weight to carry. His community would shame him, and yet he did it anyway out of obedience to God. Joseph was passionate about the reputation of Yahweh. He humbled himself, cast aside his own reputation, and agreed with God that he would be the husband of Mary and Jesus' temporary human dad. How about us? Is your reputation in your family and community more important to you than doing what God wants you to do? I have met people who have resisted following Christ, believing in him, being baptized, and joining the church because they were more concerned about what their family and friends thought of them. And I have counseled Christians who knew God wanted them to serve him in mission ministry outside the United States or outside Hong Kong, and they refused to do it because of their own personal reputation. That's sin. Joseph does not fall for this sin. He chooses obedience over disobedience at great personal cost to his reputation. How about you? Joseph lived in the tension between obedience and disobedience, and yet he clearly chose to obey God. And I have commented that what impressed me about this way of obedience was that first, Joseph immediately believes the will of God for his life. And second, Joseph puts God's reputation ahead of his own. And this was remarkable, particularly given the shame that he endured for Jesus. Listen, even though Jesus wasn't even born yet. Jesus creates tension for us too, between law and grace, and obedience and disobedience. I encourage you to give thought to what we have discussed today. Let's let the Spirit of God convict us through the Word of God. As human persons, Joseph is a good model for us to follow, and we'll continue in the Jesus genealogy as we ready ourselves for Christmas tomorrow, right here on God Is.